The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony's off again today, so you know what that means.
It's Phil and Frank Friday.
Glasses and all.
Finally. You know, how's that for an alliteration?
Glasses indoors. I mean, that's just not...
You know what they say about guys that wear sunglasses indoors.
No, what?
I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah, we'll just leave that to the imagination. Welcome to PTI. In today's episode, Bryce Harper challenges Fernando Tatis Jr., Lamar Jackson takes on Patrick Mahomes, and Auburn travels to Penn State for another overrated whiteout game. Let's start with the finish of last night's game between the New York Giants and the Washington football team. A series of crazy plays down the stretch included a Darius Slayton drop in the end zone, a Taylor Heinicke go-ahead touchdown pass, soon followed by a Heinicke interception that gave the Giants new life, and ended in Washington's Dustin Hopkins missing a game-winning field goal attempt, only to be bailed out by the G-men jumping off sides, giving Hopkins a second chance, which he narrowly converted. Frank, did Washington win this, or did the G-men lose it?
Well, Heinicke was outstanding, and you hear his teammates, especially on the defensive side of the ball, they're all endorsing him, so he's got a lot of support in that locker room. But let's remember, the Giants had this game won.
Yeah.
And the missed field goal, you cannot be offside. And Joe Judge made his bones up in New England as a special teams coach. And in that situation, why are you offside in the middle of the line? Usually, if you're going to block the kick, it's going to come from the outside. And you left them with a 48-yarder. That's not a gimme. In that moment, you cannot be offside. And Joe Judge has to be sickened by it. Dexter Lawrence has to be sickened by it. And the Giants, Mike, 5 years in a row now, 0-2 to start the season.
Frank, you know what's amazing is just how the Giants, even when they weren't having great teams, they were having disciplined teams.
That's right.
Teams that were in it, teams that you looked at and you said, you know what? They might be a person or two off, but they're pretty good. Frank, the Giants just play dumb football. They play dumb, stupid, sloppy football now year after year. I mean, it's like coach three, number three on this train. And so at first, I was ready when I was thinking about this topic to say, well, you know, it was, you know, 50-50. It was, you know, it was both. It was Heinicke. It was this. No, the Giants lost the game because you do have, I hate to pin it on a drop pass. It wasn't a perfectly thrown pass, but it should have been caught.
Yep, that's right.
But you got to look at that, and then you look at the 3 points. You got 4 points there because they had to settle for a field goal. You got three on the re-kick, the mulligan on the field goal. The Giants gave it away. But the Washington football team, what's interesting is, they seem to feel so good. They've got a certain collegiateness about them that I think can serve them well if they can win enough games to hang in there. And they seem to, like you said, they just surround Heinicke with love. And not just the receivers and the backs and the tight ends and the offensive coaches, but the defensive players, which you don't always see.
Yeah. Now, the interception by Heinicke was terrible in that moment. So the Giants get the ball back, 2:16 to go. Ideally, you want to run some clock, score a touchdown.
And they didn't.
They only used up 16 seconds. But again, Daniel Jones, who I thought was very good. So if I'm the Giants, I'm a little optimistic about that, how well he played. But the offense did its job. It gave you the lead. So the defense on two of the last three possessions
couldn't get it done.
How about the drive that Heinicke had 17 seconds it took him to score?
Yeah, I think I'm glad you mentioned Daniel Jones, who's taken he's taken a lot of heat. Which is
really
going to happen to a quarterback in metropolitan New York who's not perfect. That's just the way that's going to go. But you know what? He's not dreadful. It's the turnovers.
Nope.
The turnovers have undermined otherwise, and I know that's a big asterisk, an otherwise, you know, pretty good start in some ways. By the way, he's athletic. Nobody wants to call him an athlete.
He is
an athlete, man.
Yeah, so no interceptions for him the last 2 weeks. It wasn't the turnovers last night. It was the penalties killed him.
Yep.
That's what killed him. All right. Now on to baseball, where Bryce Harper is pushing frontrunner Fernando Tatis Jr. for the NL MVP. Harper put up a home run, a double, and two walks in a beatdown of your Chicago Cubs last night. And Tatis homered, singled, and walked twice in a Padres win over the Giants. Harper, all right, now he has the higher average and OPS, but Tatis has six more home runs for a team with a better record. Mike, to whom are you giving the edge?
I can sit back and wait and see who gets his team into that wild card spot, Frank, and I might very well decide it on that.
I think that's how the writers will do it.
I don't know if you remember this, and there's another sport, it was basketball, but I think it was like Chris Paul's second year. He's playing with New Orleans. And he and Kobe come down to like the last week of the regular season, and it's not even clear which one of those two guys was going to be the MVP. It was Kobe who wound up winning the one seed, and Chris Paul didn't get it. But you, there are times when head-to-head can, should, and does decide this. And by the way, the number I care about even more than home runs in this is runs batted in, which I know, you know, your modern-day, you know, stat heads don't want to consider
Tatis
runs batted
more.
In. He has more in many fewer games. He has like 14 more runs batted in fewer games. So he's leading Harper by this much. But if Harper, who, by the way, hit so many of those home runs late, who's having a great second half, if he passes Tatis up and gets the team into the playoffs, I'm happy to go with Harper.
All right. I like how we glossed over the Cubs real quickly, what they did last night.
They gave up a 7-0 lead. I know what they did last night.
They were up a touchdown. 7-0. Joe Girardi is using four pitchers in the first four innings. It's 7-0. You have your best pitcher on the mound in Hendricks, and here come the Phillies, and Harper has been great. He's got a 12-game hitting streak, 7 home runs in his last 11 games. He's been great. But if Tatis and the Padres make the playoffs, and they're obviously competing for the wild card, it's going to be tough. But if they get in, he's definitely your MVP. They got 3 games against St. Louis, 3 games against the Giants, 4 games against the Braves, and then they end the season 3 games against the Dodgers. He's in a tougher division with a tougher way to end it. He's got more home runs, more RBIs. He clearly is the front runner. If he gets in, he's definitely the MVP.
But if he doesn't, do you think he's still got a chance to win the MVP, or does it automatically go to Harper? Are the baseball writers going to swing their votes and that judgment 3,000 miles across the country to Bryce Harper?
You know what? Here's why they might not do it. Because baseball is different than the other sports, because Shohei Ohtani is likely going to be the AL MVP. He's not going to make the playoffs. And the guy who could finish second is Guerrero, and his team might not make the playoffs.
Yeah, but his team could make the playoffs, which
hopefully
will be an interesting dimension then involving Ohtani. A baseball quirk may cost Starling Marte a batting title. The A's outfielder leads the majors with a .321 average. But he was traded on July 28 from the Marlins, the National League team, to the American League A's. So his NL stats, they didn't convey. And he doesn't have enough at-bats to qualify for either league's batting title. Frank, is Marte getting hosed? And how should baseball address this if he is?
Yeah, he's definitely getting hosed. And baseball is all about numbers. 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, 300 wins. Good luck to the next guy that wins 300 games, because everybody gets taken out about the fourth or fifth inning at this point. But here, you know, with interleague play, this is what they should consider, though. Why not make it his combined batting average and just name him the MLB hitting champion? Because, Mike, think about this. You need 502 plate appearances to qualify. So let's say, for argument's sake, he had 201 in the National League, 301 in the American League, and in both leagues, he hit 400. That would mean you would have a 400 hitter would not be the AL or the NL batting champion. That's how crazy this is.
It is crazy, and I'm in favor of, when applicable, we just make it the major league champion of whatever statistical measure that is. So I'm with you on that. There are ways to do this. And I think about, I know awards are different than actually finishing atop, because an award is voted on and judged. But I'm thinking about Rick Sutcliffe back in, I think it was 1984 with the Cubs. He gets traded from Cleveland to the Cubs. I think he went 16-1 for the Cubs, who make it in the playoffs for the first time since 1945. He was a Cy Young Award winner. He won the Cy Young. Baseball sanctions it. I realize baseball doesn't, there's the writers who vote again, but baseball sanctions these things. So don't tell me that you can't change it. Just because something is made some sort of rule for Major League Baseball doesn't mean you have to hold on to it. It can be adjusted.
Yeah.
You know, and so it should be, because this just looks stupid. The optics of this are just dumb.
Yeah. A couple of things. If Starling Marte, number one, didn't play in front of a bunch of fans in Miami, he doesn't play in front of a lot in Oakland. So the fact that we're talking about a terrific player is a good thing. But how about this? In 1990, Eddie Murray lost the batting title to Willie McGee. Willie McGee had the amount of plate appearances. He had over 500, but he left. He got traded to the American League, played for the Oakland A's. His total batting average actually dropped. But his National League batting average is frozen, so he ends up winning the National League batting title, even though he's in the American League.
Once again, you know what? Every day we point out something stupid that baseball just continues
You
on
said
with.
It, quirky. Statistical quirk.
Let's take a break. But coming up, will Lamar Jackson finally get his first win against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
And will Joe Burrow take apart the Bears' defense that Matthew Stafford dominated?
No.
Dominated, I tell you.
Yeah, no. No, it's the Bengals.
Why not?
And
Joe Burrow is good.
The Bears, while not particularly well coached, do have some pride among the players, particularly on defense.
The defense is getting old, waiting for the quarterback to come along.
Well, that's been generations old. That's 100 years old, 101 years old.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Time to give you a glimpse of the future in Fortune Teller. Phone lines are open, apparently. Let's take the first call.
Hi, Mike and Phelan. Do you guys see Lamar Jackson and the Ravens finally beating Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
No, I don't see that, Frank. I don't see it because Baltimore's roster is too decimated. Yeah. We know how they have to play. They're not equipped for that quarterback, even with his skill set, even though he's been an MVP. They're not equipped to have him drop back and throw the ball 35, 38, 40 times in a game, which they may need to in Kansas City, against Kansas City, now that they are just missing all these running backs. And I know you bring new running backs in, you think these guys are capable, but it doesn't mean that they're equipped to go out there with almost no practice time under their belts and just run all over the Kansas City Chiefs. So, no, I don't see Baltimore, I don't see them having enough offensively that's ready to go to change the result and beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and last year Lamar Jackson threw for 97 yards, and he said Kansas City's our kryptonite. And guess what? He's 0-3 as a starter against the Chiefs with Mahomes, and he's 30-5 against the rest of the NFL. That's the one team he can't beat. And how do you beat the Chiefs? You either have to do what Tampa Bay did in the Super Bowl, where you knock down Mahomes all the time, or you have to control the football, or the clock. And I'm not so sure they can do that because of all the weapons they've lost. He's going to have a ton of pressure on him. If he were to win, I don't care if they're playing in Baltimore. It's a major upset.
We saw what the pressure does in his first game, in the season opener.
Yeah.
That pressure can even get to Lamar Jackson. So, look, it'd be a nice upset, and that's a marquee game, and it's worth watching because Baltimore has some – they have some stones, right?
Yep.
They're not
going
to be afraid. They're not
going
to be spurred.
That's right.
And so they do have that pride on defense. What is next?
Hey, fellas. Love the show. I just want to know if you see Joe Burrow carving up the Bears' defense this Sunday.
Okay, no. He's not going to carve up the Bears' defense. I don't want to hear about any numbers. This is about professional pride, too. The Bears' defense last week was a sieve, all right? And this is where coaching, even on the offensive side of the ball, can hurt the defensive side of the ball. I don't know if that team has any confidence at all in the head coach and what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball. And after a while, the defense just drops its shoulders and says, what now? We got to do this again? We got to hold people to under 16 points again every game the whole season? The Bears will rise above that malaise this week. They'll take Joe Burrow out. They'll take the Bengals out. He will not carve up anything.
Yeah, here's a guarantee. No matter what happens in this game, the quarterback that we're all going to be talking about on Monday is going to be Justin Fields. The same thing as last week. It's not going to be Andy Dalton, and it's not going to be Joe Burrow. But Joe Burrow, last week, how about the game that he had? 20 of 27, 261 yards, two touchdowns. He had the big fourth down play, fourth and one.
He played well.
In overtime.
He played really well.
But here's where I'm going to be concerned if I'm Cincinnati. He got sacked five times.
Yeah.
And that's the reason he got hurt last year, because they couldn't protect him. And guess what? After 1 week, and I get that the game went into overtime, they still can't protect him. So this is a big moment for the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears' new defensive coordinator and the Bears' defensive staff needs to wake up, because that defense looked plenty vanilla last week. That defense was worse than the offense, which in Chicago is an indictment that no one can stand. So that defense better wake up and play this week. I believe they will. We got one more call, Frank.
Here we go.
Hey, guys. I just want to know, do you see Auburn beating Penn State in Happy Valley?
You know, this is a rare and sort of an attractive matchup, Frank, because Auburn last played at a Big Ten school in like 1931. This is
90
something
years
they
ago.
Do. I mean, you know, Southeastern Conference teams, they don't really go on the road.
Nope.
They go to Atlanta and they call that the road. Or they go to Charlotte and they call that the road.
Yep.
It's not the road. This is the road. I'm tired of hearing about the whiteout. I hate the whiteout. I think it's just overstated and pretty stupid. And they'll go crazy over it. The broadcast will go crazy over it. Auburn can win this game. I admit to rooting for Auburn because I need to have a Big Ten team in the L column. I got Auburn winning. What do you have?
Yeah. How about James Franklin? He spent the week kind of talking.
Fending off. Yeah. Rumor
about
talk.
The USC. I think you and I are the only two people yet to be linked to the USC
hey,
job.
Hey, I got a call.
But what? Oh, say. They're always going to call you first. Meanwhile, Auburn has a running back, the aptly named Tank Bigsby. How
You're
great
running
is that?
Over, dude.
He's got 140 of his 240 rushing yards are after contact.
Yeah.
So he is a tank. But you're Big Ten, and you're in the Big Ten.
Yes.
And you already had a loss last week.
Yes.
Oregon coming on the road beating Ohio
State. That hurt.
If Auburn goes on the road and wins, your Big Ten is not getting into the college football playoff.
We'll look like the Pac-12 if we lose this game to Auburn, but I think that may very well happen. The phone lines are closed. Stop calling. Let's take one last break. But in our future, I see us talking about the latest petty behavior. And there's decades of it by Notre Dame.
And does Florida really have a shot of knocking off number one Alabama?
Yeah, let's not hype that. There's no whiteout in the world as good. There's no orange out.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to get happy, people. Happy birthday to a slew of stars by age. Happy 24th to Maple Leafs scoring star Austin Matthews. Happy 26th to Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Happy 31st to Blue Jays second baseman Marcus Semien, who has 39 home runs this season. Happy 36th to Alex Ovechkin, the great eight, who could be third all-time in goals scored after this season. 46th to racing legend, is he the GOAT? Jimmy Johnson. Happy 47th to the wonderfully insightful Memphis assistant coach Rasheed Wallace. Both teams play hard, my man. Happy 76th to the great Phil Jackson, who won 11 NBA titles as a coach, two as a player. And finally, happy 84th to Hall of Fame first baseman Orlando Cepeda, one of four Giants with a statue along with Mays, Marichal, and McCovey.
Of course, you would mention the New Yorker, the former Met, John Franco. By the way, doesn't Barry Bonds have to get a statue? And yeah. What about Madison yes. Bumgarner? 4-0 yes. in the World Series with a 0.25
ERA?
Too many
statues. Too many.
What do you mean? It's Barry Bonds. He has
Bonds
to get
has
one.
To have one. He does.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary,
you.
Reggie Jackson. Reginald Martinez Jackson. On this day 37 years ago while playing for the Angels, Reggie hit his 500th career home run. No one was sitting out in the right field stands, but look at the scramble for the ball. The home run came off now Rockies manager Bud Black, who was then starting for the Kansas City Royals. What was he, 18? The home run came 17 years to the day after Jackson hit his very first home run, also in Anaheim, but as a member of the Kansas City A's just before they relocated to Oakland. Reggie finished his career with 563 home runs, 5 World Series rings. Cornerizer loves Reggie Jackson. I've talked to Reggie a few times. I'm not so clear as to what he thinks about Tony, though. We'll just sort of
you know
that
what?
Aside.
You didn't mention the home run that he hit, the most famous ones, the one in the All-Star game
All-Star
in Detroit.
Game. Light Tower.
And then how about the 3 in the World Series, yeah. 3 different pitchers, yeah. the first pitch all 3 times?
Those, to be that's fair, Reggie too, Jackson. Reggie talked to me once only because I was Tony's understudy. True story. I don't even want to get into the details of that. Happy trails to the world's largest drum making the trip to Notre Dame. Purdue's band will be without its signature instrument in South Bend Saturday after Notre Dame, get this, Frank, would not give Purdue permission to carry it through the main tunnel.
Boo.
After allowing the thing in the past, Notre Dame says it now restricts the use of the main tunnel to just the Irish and its band. The new visitor's tunnel isn't big enough to accommodate the 10-foot-tall, 565-pound drum. This is why, among other reasons, Frank, Notre Dame is hateable. Next thing you know, they'll make the visitor's tunnel so small, Purdue's linemen won't be able to squeeze through.
Well, Purdue is an engineering school. Figure it out. Maybe have it go in sideways or something. Isn't that a round object into a square, you know, square peg?
They can
figure it out.
New York school, you have them. All right, you claim them.
They play in Central Park, don't they? That's what we thought growing up.
Why don't you claim Rutgers? We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Number 1, Alabama at number 11, Florida tomorrow. You smell an upset?
I know they are in Florida, but I'm not. No one's beating Alabama. The Clippers broke ground on the Intuit Dome in Inglewood. Is that a big deal?
They don't need the Lakers. They're not going to be downtown at Staples. Wow, that's going to be different. Carly Lloyd had 5 goals as the U.S. women's national team beat Paraguay 9-0. You impressed with that result?
Can we find a better opponent? By the way, this is her farewell tour. None of the games are being played in the Philly area or the New York area. She's from South Jersey. Why are we playing in Kansas City and Cincinnati? The Braves and Giants start a 3-game set tonight. Is that significant?
Well, it is, and that San Francisco's only 1 game ahead of the Dodgers, and they're trying to stay out of that wild card game. So, yeah, 2 division leaders, but that's sort of significant to me. All right, last one. College football, Nebraska, and number 3 Oklahoma meet tomorrow for the first time, Frank, since 2010. Anything about that excite you?
How is that even possible? Oklahoma's favored by 22. By the way, Mike, we grew up on this game.
Yes.
Billy Sims, Marcus Dupree. Game used to come on at 3:30 in the East. Keith Jackson calling it. How have they not played since 2010?
And the whining if Nebraska loses. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Nebraska, they've gone in the wrong direction. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.